Tuesday, May the 7th, 2013. From Studio A, the historic Studio A, been broadcast continually from since 1927. We're excited to bring this Faith and Family program to you, underwritten by our good friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. We understand they're going through finals up there and graduation, good stuff. So we encourage you to check them out on their website at Concordia University, Wisconsin, located in suburbia, Milwaukee. We also want to encourage you to check out our Wi-Fi radio giveaway program. This month, the month of May, we're giving away one Wi-Fi radio free of charge to someone around the world who sends in the winning entree of why their mother deserves a Wi-Fi radio. And so if your mom is in a facility or a home that has Wi-Fi, you can get this and hook it right up, play it 24/7. All the details about how to enter, how to win are on our website, kfuo.org, or on our Facebook page. This week we're talking about marriage, and today specifically, preparing for Christian marriage. And we have author and pastor Scott Stigemeyer, who wrote the CPH book, United in Christ, Preparing for Christian Marriage. Welcome to Faith and Family, Scott.
Hi, Rod. How are you?
Good. How's the weather over there in Indiana?
Well, I'm in Illinois.
Oh, you're in Illinois. That's right. I keep forgetting you.
I'm in the greater Chicago area, and it's sunny.
Great. So the white stuff is all melted, I take it?
Well, as far as I can tell, yeah. We've had some 80-degree weather, but, you know, it seems like one day we'll have 85 degrees, and the next day it's down to 50 again. But, no, there's no snow.
Yeah, that's about the weather we've had here, too, Scott. Now I really enjoy your little booklet here, United in Christ. And what beliefs that people have about marriage, Scott, can cause it to go so off track early on that those contemplating or already engaged and planning a marriage should be aware of?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors at play and a lot of forces in the world that try to undermine marriage. Marriage is instituted by God. It is revelatory of God's grace, mercy, in lots of ways. And so, very first and foremost is the devil. You know, the devil is at work trying to upset and destabilize and besmirch everything that reflects or images God in any way. And so he's trying to mar creation. And one of the most glorious parts of that is marriage and family. So we've got to understand that this is a spiritual thing. These aren't just social forces that come and go with which we're dealing, but that there is a spiritual battle going on against marriage, and always has been. I don't think this is new to our time, but we have an enemy, and who we wrestle against, not flesh and blood, but against a demonic force. But, you know, our culture has changed a lot in the last 50 years, and in the last generation or two, there have been many social changes and cultural changes that are reflected in the media, that are reflected in people's behaviors and habits, and marriage is no exception to that. One of the things I think that pervades our culture is the idea that everything that exists for my self-gratification, and we've become a very self-gratification-oriented society. That's not new. That's always been part of original sin. That's always been around in human nature, fallen human nature. But our culture now applauds that and amplifies that, I think, more than perhaps in other times. So there's that element of everything should be immediately gratifying to me. There should be really little or no cost for anything that I want or anything that's worthwhile. And everything, only good things should happen to me all the time. And
right.
You know, so I mean, with that sort of, hedonism is maybe one word for what that is, but with that sort of fleshly pursuit, marriage works counter to that. And I think marriage can be a good source for us. It can help us to learn not to behave that way. But if that is really how someone is strongly oriented, marriage is going to be very counter toward that. And a successful marriage, the marriage that glorifies God, is going to be difficult to achieve with that mentality. That's one thing.
So you have to have the right mindset, the God-given mindset to really make a marriage be a true blessing to everybody. Scott, I failed to tell our listeners, too, that Faith and Family is a call-in program. So you out there, wherever you are worldwide listening to us, locally in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, worldwide 1-800-730-2727, or you can always email us at family@kfuo.org. Call right in your questions or comments on marriage and preparation, whatever you want to ask about marriage, for our guest pastor, Scott Stigemeyer. Scott, you know, in your little beginning here to your fine book, United in Christ, you talk about careful preparation for marriage. And I really like that, because as a former parish pastor myself, I kind of know where you're going with this, but what do you mean by careful?
As it says in the marriage rite itself, that marriage is not something that should be entered into lightly or inadvisedly. And, throughout human history, Rod, I mean, there have been lots of ways that marriage has been done. And you know, there have been everything from arranged marriages. People have married younger or older in life, different stages. There are different things. And I've met people, and I know people, as you probably do, that, got married at as 18-year-olds, or people that married later in life and, you know, come from different circumstances and can be quite happily married and have, a really God-pleasing, God-glorifying relationship. So it's difficult to say, well, you know, you have to be engaged for a year, 2 years, or 5 years, or you have to, that there's only one way. But, I think that having some opportunity to sit down with the pastor, sit down with your pastor, sit down with the pastor who's going to do the wedding, presumably, and go through some kind of biblical instruction. Now, that should be something that's happening all through life. I think that we need to, as pastors and as the Christian church, we need to understand that in our preaching, in our teaching of all ages, that we need to be talking about, when appropriate, we need to be talking about human relations and human relationships and marriage and family issues as they pertain to what Scripture has to say and the historic faith has to tell us. But, I don't think we want to just sort of relegate all marriage instruction to those 4, 5, 10 sessions that the pastor has with the couple. But hopefully they already are coming to you with an understanding of law and gospel, that they know who Jesus is and what he did for them. If they understand grace and forgiveness, that's already, tremendous preparation for marriage. But I do think that it's very valuable for a pastor to spend some time with the couple that he's going to marry and walk through not just the wedding rite itself, not just the ceremony they're going to experience, but what does the Bible say? What does God's Word teach about family and marriage? And what are some of the other teachings of Scripture that pertain to living together and having intimacy and being close as a husband and wife? So that's a part of what I mean. I mean, being prepared for marriage is going into marriage shouldn't be something that we do just kind of on a whim. And I think we treat marriage too lightly in our society. It is easy for people to marry, divorce, and not to say that there, that there are not tragic cases where someone is abandoned or something where marriage dissolves, but on the whole, I think we take marriage and these commitments and what it means to be a parent and have children and raise them in the faith, I think we take those things all too glibly and lightly.
I agree. And, I love that you started off with that beginning of the marriage rite. You know, I used to do that. And a couple years ago, we had a big celebration at the parish where I served. And so as a part of the presentation, the little DVD we did, I counted up, in the over 20 years I was there, how many sacramental acts I did, baptisms and communions and marriages and funerals and all that stuff. And I realized then at the other call that I've been to that I'd performed over 200 marriages.
Wow.
And, you know, so I really like that where you start out, it should be entered into not inadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. And Scott, maybe you've had this experience too, that people would come to me and I would talk to them, number one, about, you know, what would be the premarital counseling that we would go through and what would be the objectives. And I heard people say that they were scared that they thought it was going to be something it never was, that they thought I was going to spend all my time, because they heard of some pastors that did marriages where all they did was do compatibility testing.
Yeah.
You know, give them scientific tests and see, you know, they come out at the end and go, I really don't think you should get married, you know.
That's true.
And then the other side was where they said they'd heard of pastors that did nothing but what you said, was just talk about the ceremony and, you know, where do we stand and where can we put all our flowers and, you know, all the me stuff, as you were saying. And what that little preface there to the rite of marriage that most of us use, as you were saying, says we should do it reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. That's the big one, isn't it? To help these people that are contemplating marriage know what God has instituted for. And then you go right into the other good stuff, like procreation, so you can talk to them about all that. I'm sure that's where you take your people, and I know your book does, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you do start there, right? Because marriage is a divine institution. Marriage is not something that man or human beings thought up. And, you know, consequently and relevantly to today's situation, some of today's situations, we don't define what marriage is.
Yeah.
You know, God has done that, and he is the author of marriage. And marriage reflects something of God's nature, I believe. And so when Jesus was questioned about marriage in Matthew 19, when he was questioned about divorce particularly, he didn't start talking about, compatibility studies and social science and behavioral science statistics. He went to Genesis 1 and 2 and began to do a little catechesis with the Pharisees about what God's original purpose is for marriage. And so we do the same. We talk about what marriage is, what are God's intentions, what are the ingredients or the characteristics for marriage. And those include several things, and I find that a lot of times people don't always think about them, and they may not even agree right away. And so you do kind of work through those things with people. Different pastors do it differently, and so maybe have, if you're in a large parish, you might have a class with a number of couples all at once and so forth. My experience has been usually just with me and a single couple, and you can really kind of talk about, and there's nothing wrong with doing some of those sorts of, I don't feel, you know, are we compatible? I mean, how did you meet? What are, you know, thinking through that a little bit, but that's, there's a whole lot more to it than just that.
That's not your big focus. The focus is what you were saying there is what God started and intended marriage to be, and what it'll be a blessing for everybody if you get into it. And I like where you were going there, Scott, because as you were speaking, so many people have never even heard, let alone contemplated, those things that God speaks about marriage. And that leads me into a question I was wanting to ask you. I love your title. I have a real good clue as to what you mean by united in Christ. That says a lot, doesn't it, the title of your book, United in Christ?
Well, it does. And the book from Concordia Publishing House has a picture on the front of a couple with their hands kind of together, and there's the ring being placed on the finger. And as you know, as many people in the listening audience may know, very often the author of the book does not select a title. So I like the title, but I can't take credit for it. I didn't think up that title. I don't know who did. One of the editors at CPH. Usually, you know, when I think of united in Christ as a biblical phrase, it means more than marriage. It means that, you know, it's referring to the church, the body of Christ. But in this context, when it's with the subtitle is preparing for Christian marriage, it does bring in that Christ element, that a Christian couple coming together are already, by nature of being part of the body of Christ through baptism, they are already brother and sister in Christ. They're already united in that sense, in that eternal sense. But they are going to pledge before the congregation to enter into a different kind of union, and that God is blessing that, and God is joining them together in marriage.
So there's the real Christian part of this, and we want to encourage everyone listening to give us a holler on the phone if you live near us in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, or anywhere else, 1-800-730-2727, or you can even email us at family@kfuo.org and talk about preparing for marriage or marriage with Pastor Scott Stigemeyer. So, Scott, when we talk about in Christ, I love to tell people that, you know, the most important guest and witness at your wedding ceremony is going to be Christ himself. But more than that, he really yearns, he really desires to walk with both of you in your married life together every single day. And that's just great stuff to bring, raise to people contemplating marriage mind, that that's Christ's desire, and he's not going to give up on it very easily, is he?
No, and that is part of the Christian instruction that a pastor should engage with a couple. I want to add, though, Rod, I mean, when we think about marriage from a biblical and Christian perspective, marriage isn't only something that Christians do. I mean, that other non-believers get married and are still recognized as married by God, I believe, even if they're not married, if they're not in the faith. So, I mean, all humanity participates in marriage. What makes a Christian marriage different is that is not that we have some kind of sacramental kind of quality to marriage from my understanding, but that we do put that emphasis on the walk with Christ, and that Christ is part of our individual relationships. I mean, our individual understanding of what it means to be a Christian, but as a couple unit, as a family, having Jesus and knowing the gospel. How we are reunited with our Creator through Christ, and how marriage actually, one of the things that's most exciting to me is how marriage is sort of a representation of what Christ has done, even to the whole world. It's imperfect. We are flawed creatures and sinful creatures, but that relationship of a husband and a wife, that self-giving, that self-sacrificing, that is necessary for marriage, whether you're a Christian or not, that self-sacrificing, and it reflects Christ, the relationship of Christ and his body, the church, or in the Old Testament context, of God and Israel. So marriage is a very powerful expressor of the gospel in a way that, that's, in my belief, why it's so viciously under attack by the evil one.
Boy, that's a good point that we don't contemplate that much, that because marriage is such this holy picture of Christ and his bride, the Christian church, no wonder marriage is under, assault from every possible angle. And that was really great that you clarified that we as Lutheran Christians, we do not consider marriage a sacrament. And let's help some listeners out there that might be, wondering, what does he mean by marriage as a sacrament? Because there are some people that teach and believe that. And what would they be saying there if they said marriage was a sacrament, Scott?
Well, many times when I do a wedding, someone might have a background in another church body, or they may have family members who are from another church background. And so sometimes the question comes up in that context as to, what is actually happening? What do we view about a church wedding, a Christian wedding? The Roman Catholic Church and perhaps other groups will use the word sacrament, okay, in a way that we in the Lutheran Church typically do not. The word sacrament has sometimes these words are tricky, Rod, because it depends on the definition of the person that's using it.
Sure.
And if so sometimes people will say, how many sacraments are there? Well, usually the Lutheran answer is that there's, we'll talk about the Lord's Supper, we'll talk about baptism, sometimes we'll talk about other things like absolution and so forth, having sacramental aspects. Our definition that we usually use in our churches for a sacrament is that it is a divine or sacred act instituted by God, but that it exists for the purpose of imparting forgiveness of sins and has visible elements involved, like baptism with water. And so marriage is instituted by God. Okay, so that's one of the ingredients. Marriage could arguably have a visible element, the bride and the groom, I suppose. And marriage does involve grace. I mean, because God's doing something, right? He's blessing these people. Jesus says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So God is acting in a blessing manner. But our understanding is not that it's a place where forgiveness is granted or some kind of heavenly permanent stamp on the person, so that we don't usually use that word. We don't usually call marriage a sac. I would be quick to say I think marriage is holy. I would use words like holy marriage, holy matrimony. It's sacred. But I think we're working with a little different definition of what a sacrament is than what maybe some folks have in mind. So I don't use that word for marriage. And I always, if necessary, I do try to clarify that.
Sure. And so thanks for that. And it's primarily that we're not, saying it's not as important as someone who would say it's sacramental. It's just we do not believe there's any teaching from the Bible that speaks to it being a conveyor, a means that God would give us forgiveness of our sins. And so all of the sacredness to it, we would want to confirm and hold up and actually encourage. And so...
Well, if I may add something to that, Rod.
Sure.
A sacrament is something that would be unique to the Christian church, right? I mean, so Jesus told his disciples to baptize, okay? He commanded the apostles to do that. He commanded the apostles, do this in regards to the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist.
And he said to everybody to do that, right? Not a restricted group of Christians, just all Christians do this.
All his disciples,
yeah,
exactly. All
right.
His disciples. But he didn't give that command to unbelievers.
Right.
Whereas marriage exists to all creation.
Right.
And I think that's one thing I would make a distinction. I think that Christian marriage, I'm no more married to my wife, Julie, than, two atheists or two worshipers of Baal might be married.
Right.
Now, my marriage might have... perhaps hopefully a clearer proclamation of God's grace through Christ, and we exalt Christ explicitly. But marriage was given something to Adam and Eve, and to all the children of Adam and Eve. So in other words, if someone joins the church from a non-Christian background, we don't remarry them.
Right.
Scott,
let's leave it there, and we're going to take a quick break. And we encourage you to call in on the other side of the break and talk more about any issues you have about preparation for marriage or marriage itself. Talking with Pastor Scott Stigemeyer, author of a book, United in Christ, Preparing for Christian Marriage. And so those numbers again, 314-505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And on the internet, you can email us, family@kfuo.org. Stick with us. We'll be right back on Faith and Family.